Good morning, millennials.
Welcome back to The Toast and happy Friday, a gorgeous day. Congrats, grads.
Congrats, grads. As much as I'm so happy that it's Friday, it really doesn't feel like a Friday. It feels like, at best, middle of the week, at worst, beginning of the week, because you left yesterday. You really just kind of threw us through a loop.
Blaming all your problems on me. What else is new?
Whoa, turtle-loo.
Turtle-loo.
Save the turtles.
Don't call me a turtle. Call me what I really am, a goat. A scapegoat. I'm sick of it.
Oh, my God. Victim mentality. Let me ask you something. Is your name Bruno? Is your name Bruno?
And what if it was? And what if it was?
Bruno has been scapegoated, maligned, defamed, fat shamed, all of which has sent him spiraling into financial ruin. And nobody gives a damn.
Oh, once again, blaming Bruno's financial ruin on me. Just call me toward to go.
You're just one piece of the problem, turtle. Hey. Toward to goat. She's a turtle and she's a goat. Turtle, I don't want to fight with you. I know we're
lashing
both
out.
Operating from a place of sadness and anger, and my turtle should be beside me, and she's not.
I'm back in New York, no longer with my swirly, in a physical sense. Of course, in a metaphysical and spiritual sense, always. We are always together.
Emotionally, we're
bound. We are always side by side in, you know, in the other world. But in the physical world, I am in New York, and you are back in Florida, which is fine. I am happy to be home, I'm not going to lie. Like, love your house. You make it so nice. There's nothing like your own bed.
I know. I did miss you. And as much as I'll look on the positive side too, because we were having so much fun. Like, I wouldn't go into my own bed at night until like 10:30, mm-hmm. and then I would start to read. So last night I was able to get in bed at like 9 and I got to read a lot.
But did you giggle as
lonely.
Much?
It was lonely.
Did you even laugh? Did you laugh once?
No, it's not a funny book.
I agree. Like, I had a great night. We ate Chinese food. Ben watched a Knick game. Like, but did I laugh? No.
Not a laughter was heard.
It was a chilling evening in my home.
Well, I hope that you have a great weekend. What do you have going on this weekend?
A whole bunch of nothing. Just sort of getting myself back, you know, sort of centering turdy, getting back on my wellness journey, back into fitness. Maybe I'll trigger warning, go for a jog. Nothing crazy.
You know what, turtle? I'm eating my words.
No, really,
I read the comments.
I feel like everybody agreed with you. They're like, we get it.
It's so funny how you and I can read the same comments and just like, I see a lot of support for you and you
a lot
see
of hate
support
for me.
For me.
A lot of hate for
no,
me.
Like, I was definitely just operating out of a place of like, I know that I have my passions that people like beef stew and the redheads and people get tired of hearing about it. But you know what? I don't want to be that person. I don't want to stifle the things that bring you joy.
Well, I heard both sides. How about that? I see both sides.
Well, it's not coming from me anymore. I want to hear it all.
Well, I might go for a jog this weekend. I have to, actually. I have, you know, 3 days of homework to do, and I've only done 2. So I really enjoyed running in your neighborhood. It was, like, very civilized. I don't know where the hell I'm going to run here.
And where did you end up? Like, when you do your 3 days of homework, like, where will that bring you? Like, to what minute, mile?
That's a good question. I'm so glad you brought that up. As of my second day this week, I was able to run an 11-minute and 10-second mile, which is very good for me. I started out, I think, at, like, a 16, 17-minute mile. At the end of this week, I will hopefully run 2 miles without stopping.
Wow.
Which would take me pretty far in my journey.
That's major.
Yeah. I don't know how long it's going to take me. And like, I seriously might pass away. But until then, that's what's on the schedule.
Cool. Well, speaking of health and fitness, I kind of want to get an Oura ring.
Don't you have one?
I had one and I lost it.
If you're placing an order, make it 2.
I know, but now I'm like, I'm going to be this person. Like, I'm kind of manifesting like a free one.
Oh, put it, sister, put it, Jackie.
And I just want to say Oura ring.
Put it in the book.
I just want to say to you, Oura Ring Corporate, I've already bought one once. I'm a big fan of the brand. I feel silly like buying another one because I did lose it. And I wasn't sure that I lost it. I waited a few months to confirm that it was gone because things just show up. But it's well and truly gone. I believe I'm a size 5 or 6 in the Oura band.
Speaking of things showing up.
Kindle?
No. Oh, Remy Bader confirmed has my Kindle. Where Remy Bader is in this world, I don't know. I think she's in Georgia. I'm never seeing that Kindle again. Jackie, speaking of things showing up, did you find my sunglasses?
Not yet.
Fuck, I lost a really good pair of sunglasses in Jackie's house. And honestly, like, I know she's going to find them and steal them like you did my other ones. And, like, these glasses are really important to me. Like, I love them. Please do not. Please, like, just keep an eye. And when you do find them, like, I expect them to be shipped back. I don't want to be like, next time I see you. And then
shipped?
Jackie's wearing them in all of her Instagram stories. Yeah, shipped. I shipped something to you this morning already.
What?
my trainer, trigger warning, got us both a gift for our toastiversary, and I sent you yours.
Oh, queen. She was asking for our shoe size.
So I shipped to you. You shipped to me. That's, you moved.
That's
and
fine.
That's the price we pay.
I actually do frequent the shipping store. I'm not a stranger to shipments. You know, some, there have been points in my life where you couldn't get me to FedEx or UPS. Like, it was this just a daunting task. But I'm actually always there, so it's fine.
Great.
They know me.
Oh.
I'm kind of a regular.
Oh, it's giving I'll have my regular order.
Yeah, sent straight to Turdy's house.
Works for me. So keep an eye out for those glasses.
I will, but I do hope that I find them before Austin. That way I can bequeath them unto you in Austin.
That would be so great.
A bequeathing, a live bequeathing at Dear Media IRL, Austin. Get your tickets.
They're sold out, so.
Don't get your tickets.
Also, today's an amazing day because it's Friday. And like, even though we don't feel like it is Friday, it doesn't change the facts, you know?
Right.
And that's amazing.
That's what I like about facts.
Over.
They're not willy-nilly.
They're, some would say, quite scrupled. Quite. We also have Queenie and Weenie of the Week, which we haven't done in a while because last week I wasn't here. So it's been 2 weeks since Queenie of the, and Weenie of the Week. Jack and I have both selected our nominations for Queenie of the Week. I hope y'all are ready because I am.
Ready, Eddie.
But you know what I'm not ready for?
The Fast Five?
No. Like, I'm having an issue today, like a bodily issue I probably haven't had since maybe like the sixth grade. Like, I have this feeling is like, it's somewhat familiar, but not really.
Explain yourself. Whoa.
Pits. Yeah, I'm wearing like a long sleeve light colored shirt that's really tight. And I walked to work and I was like making TikToks in my house before. So like I was definitely, you know, getting my heart rate.
She was working up a sweat.
I was getting my heart beat up, my heart rate up. And I have two pit stains, which I just like, I don't have that problem. You know, I have other problems.
Yeah, I'm wearing a similar colored shirt, mine short sleeve.
But it's like a little looser, no?
No, it's the Skims tight. Fits everybody. So maybe that's in store for me if I keep working this hard.
Like, I'm a girl, like, yeah, I have panty lines. Like, that's, like, something I, like, struggle with all the time. It's, like, a clothes body thing that I am prepared for. Pit stains is not something I've had in so long.
Yeah, that's really middle school.
You know who always has them and, like, talks about them on her Instagram? And it's, like, actually really funny. And I just, it made me realize, like, I don't have them. Hannah Burner, she, like, always has them at, like, the most inopportune times. Like, she's interviewing J-Lo and she has big pit stains. Like, for me, that's not a problem that I have. But today I'm feeling like Hannah Burner. I'm embracing my inner Hannah Burner.
Okay. Well, you're so strong for sharing that.
Like,
yeah,
there.
And the thing is, like, no, you didn't need to share that with us.
I'm like, so transparent. Like, it's disgusting.
To a fault.
Yeah. No, I feel that.
But now we know the truth.
If I didn't come on here and, you know, speak what's on my heart, I wouldn't be doing my job properly.
And you would not be authentic. No. There would nary be an authentic podcaster in the room with us.
Correct.
Except for me. I keep it so real.
She keeps it so real. Are you exhausted from how real you've been keeping it?
No, because it comes natural for me. I don't have to work so hard to keep it real because I'm just so real. Because
I just am. You never have to be if you are.
Exactly.
Love that. That's kind of the message of the day.
Yeah.
Don't.
I think that's really beautiful.
Don't be. Just are.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess we could waddle into the stories, though it feels a little premature.
It does, especially because, like, the stories, no matter how amazing they are, they're never about us, which just makes them not worthy, in my opinion.
Yeah. And the stories actually today are solid.
Okay.
I'll say that. Some things that, yeah, it'll be fun, actually. It'll be a fun ride. But I don't feel like we're ready, but I feel like, I guess I just saw you 2 seconds ago. Oh my God, I guess I could share the major update in my life.
What?
Lauren Elizabeth sent me Ballerina Farm sourdough starter kit.
So it begins.
She's pushing me because I told her I'm not ready. We talked about this on the podcast. Like, I'm not ready. I don't have the time right now. That's also why I haven't started my garden. And she said, I don't give a rip. I'll push you into the sourdough life. I am, like, literally, maybe the week that you're in LA, when I said, like, it's me
don't
time.
Don't come looking for me. That's what you said.
That's when I'll start my sourdough starter. But just so you know, like, we're off to the races. The Band-Aid is off because Lauren Elizabeth pushed me. She's a pusher. And I also want to say that the package that I got from Ballerina Farm, which was the sourdough starter and the bowls and the
That's
the
such chopper, an amazing gift, by the way.
Amazing gift. I did think for a second I was on Ballerina Farm PR.
To make you feel better, I don't feel like they do PR.
I would take solace in knowing that I don't think there's a list. Yeah. The wares that came from BF were so gorgeous. Oven mitts, which actually I need a new oven mitts. Thank you, XLE. And an apron. Like, it was such a premium gift. Like, if you have anyone in your life who's sourdough curious and they're due for a gift, it was really gorgeous.
The Ballerina Farm shop is giving Buckingham Palace shop.
Yeah, she's on her
way.
And
I think that's what life is all about, like finding the shops that matter most to you.
Yeah. It's good to have shops that, like, when you see the box outside your door, you're so excited.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like I don't have a shop like that. I need to kind of do some research on shops. I also don't know, like, what I need in this life. I'm so anti, like, accruing crap in my house. They don't call me the sweeper for nothing. Like, things are getting swept away if they're not getting used. And so a shop is just, like, tchotchkeville. That's, like, the antithesis of my personal philosophy.
Yeah, yeah. I guess.
Like a souvenir shop, you'll never find me in one of them because it's not the essentials.
No. But then every time I buy a souvenir from a souvenir shop, like, I'm so glad that I didn't. Actually, I regret the things that I didn't buy. Like when we went to Disney, I didn't regret one thing that we did buy. I wish I came home with more.
What did you buy?
Like, we bought the Mickey bubbles that you buy in the park, and I wish we bought them sooner. We went at Epcot, there was a Finding Nemo exhibit, and Levi got a Nemo doll, and then all the kids, like, were so into it and, like, fighting over it. I wish that I got one. And all the dolls that were dolls, stuffed animals, I got, like, one stuffed animal. We love it. I wish I just got more, like, more memories, because when you see them, then you remember the good times.
Okay, well, I guess you'll just have to go back, which I know you secretly want to do.
We did some, like, pictures at, like, the photo booth where they, like, put you on a backdrop of Magic Kingdom, and that's, like, in our hanging in our house, and we love it. So more.
Okay, she's
more is more.
The sweeper doesn't agree, but that's what we do here. We have conflicting opinions.
Yeah, controversially conflicting opinions. I do want to go back to Disney, but now we're getting into the hot months. I don't think we're going to go back for a while.
No, and if you are, certainly don't invite me.
We weren't gonna, but do you want to come, like, in the cold months?
No. Like,
I think you would love it.
No. I know that, like, going to Disney is something in my future. Like, I'm going to have to do it. I want to have children, you know, and that's just, like, a part of life. That it's a blessing, of course. It's a privilege to go. I'm not going to go, like, before I absolutely have to.
Before it's your time? Yeah. Okay. I won't push you.
Good.
But, yeah, I know Olivia's, like, itching to go.
Well, yeah, because Olivia's a Disney adult.
Yeah, so... I don't know. I also feel like it's going to be the sort of thing where we're just going to wake up one Friday and be like, let's go to Disney this weekend. We don't have plans.
Oh, you're not going to, like, plan it in advance?
We will plan it in advance, but I could also see a time in between, like, the next planned trip where we're like, we don't have plans this weekend. What if we drove up to Disney? What do you say?
And just fuck shit up at Magic Kingdom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Just a little, what's the word? Spontaneous diz.
A little spontaneity. Never hurt anybody. I hope not sporadically, of course.
Exactly.
By the way, Ty Frazier, when she is learning her word of the day, like, it's giving toast word of the day, you know?
Yeah, even though we don't do a word of the day intentionally.
No, we do, like, a word of the moment where it just happens very organically that we start using a word that we just learned in everyday life. Acrimoniously.
Yeah. Acrimoniously. Nefariously, of course.
Of course. Referendum.
Yeah.
I love the word referendum. This is kind of giving a referendum on words.
It is. But no, we don't do it intentionally.
No. It's organically.
The words just, they overcome us.
Yeah. What's, like, an SAT word that really stuck with you? Because mine is ameliorate.
I thought yours was capricious.
I don't even know what that word means, so...
Like, kind of, like, free-spirited. And I feel like, because maybe this isn't your thing, but it's someone's because it's not mine. They remembered it because it was, like, Capri Sun, and there was always, like, a surfer on the bottle of Capri Sun, like, being capricious.
That's a good, like, mnemonic device. I like that. I didn't know what the word capricious meant, so I'm actually glad that you just taught it to me. Maybe I'll start using it.
So just think of the surfer on Capri Sun bottle.
What does the word pernicious mean?
Pernicious, like nefarious, honestly.
Okay, because capricious reminds me of pernicious when Camille Grammer said it on season one of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and none of the women, like, knew whether it was a good or a bad thing. Pernicious. Got it.
Yeah.
So pernicious and capricious are kind of like antonyms, right?
Yeah.
Not direct, But aesthetically.
Yeah, like positive versus negative.
Right. So I would,
now there's your lesson.
I would aim to be capricious in my days, not
pernicious. Capricious means given to a sudden and unaccountable changes of mood or behavior.
Okay, so it's not at all what you said it was.
No, but like you're just kind of being like.
So capricious, capricious is kind of like two-faced. So it's kind of negative.
It's kind of, you know what it is? It's kind of like willy-nilly. Like could be this, could be that.
It's willy-nilly.
It's willy-nilly.
And also the Caprice Sun surfer, literally.
Certainly is capricious. No. Maybe one day he surfs, one day he does.
One day he's in a suit. The Caprice Sun mnemonic device actually doesn't apply to the real meaning of. And can you read capricious definition one more time?
Given to sudden and unaccountable changes or moods or behavior.
So when I'm on my period, I'm feeling kind of capricious.
Impulsive, unpredictable.
Oh. Okay. It's kind of like a layered word.
Yeah, I like a layered word. It can mean a little of this, a little of that. Yeah. And I stand by the fact that the Capri Sun surfer is capricious.
I guess like
it's impulsive to go surfing
is an inherently impulsive in nature.
And the waves are unpredictable.
Maybe that's what they were saying. More about the waves than the actual surfer. You know?
Yeah, maybe.
And that wasn't me, by the way.
No, it wasn't. I wonder who it was.
Because I just became interested in like learning what the word capricious meant without like ever just Googling it, you know?
Yeah. So what was the word that stuck with you?
Ameliorate, to improve.
Yeah.
I like that word.
That is a nice word.
And
do you think we could ameliorate this episode?
It doesn't need amelioration. So no, I don't. And the reason I remember it, and I feel like you can add this to the list of stories I've told a million times, do stop me. I had this app in high school that would like give you a word of the day and like a little trick to remember it. And literally only one word stuck with me. It was ameliorate, because it was such an insane, like literally fat phobic hint that they gave me to remember. It was like Amelia ate and she needs to like ameliorate her weight. So like remember it that way. Remember Amelia.
Whatever
remember
it takes.
Big fat Amelia. That's what they basically
whatever
said.
Whatever it takes. To remember these words so you can do well on your SATs, so you can go to a college to become
Hezbollah
a radical
flag.
Domestic terrorist.
Yeah, yeah. Ameliorate that.
At least they know what ameliorate means in the encampment.
At least in the encampment, they're focusing on ameliorating themselves into better terrorists.
Claudia, Camp Toast greater than the encampment.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I think I should write a book for them called The Encampment and the Counselor, where they all get counseling because they're mentally ill.
No. I like where you're going, but it should be like The Encampment and the something else. Counselors, there are no counselors in the encampment. Like, it's the...
Claudia, that's the problem.
1,000%. We need counselors.
Therein lies the issue.
We need Counselor Snitch in there whipping those bitches into shape.
Yeah, they'd be like, Zionists, no.
Counselor Snitch is a Zionist.
Zionists are Nazis.
And Counselor Snitch is a Zionist. And you can purchase her life's work at Amazon.com. So yeah. I'm ready to dive in, mostly because I'm ready for this week to be over. Like, I really am. I had a long travel day yesterday. Ben is low-key. Me and Ben flew back from Florida yesterday afternoon. He is now on a plane back to Florida because as we were on our way home from Florida, he got an email about a meeting he has to have in Florida. So Ben will be back in New York later today. Thanks for worrying about Ben.
Speaking of, don't you feel, and this is not even a feeling, I do feel like it's fact, like everything at the moment is coming out Florida.
Florida!
Like so many Florida references on Tortured Poets.
Agreed.
Which is really what everyone's talking about. So everyone's talking about Florida.
Yeah, because the first Eras Tour show back when her and Joe had broken up, the first one back was Florida.
Is that why? I thought she said on one of her, where she explains... Taylor explains it all, that like when people commit crimes or something, they like go to Florida after to like get away from it. And it was more about like that feeling of like getting away with something and running off to Florida.
Oh, interesting.
Where does she explain stuff?
Yeah, there are like all these audio tracks like where she explains it all. I hadn't heard that. I didn't know that trope that people go to Florida. I know the trope of people, you know, retiring.
Because she saw something like in a documentary.
Oh, yes. They did say in Dateline, you know, Taylor loves Dateline, that she learned that in Dateline. Yes, you are ringing a bell. Thank you.
And it's also giving Felonious Florida, which is a podcast that actually has a really closely intertwined history with the Toast.
If you have been here since the early days, like, you know Felonious Florida, which is this old, like, this podcast.
Felonious Florida is the original Smartless.
Yes, they were like our first nemesis on the charts, because when we relaunched, like, the first couple of weeks, we were number one on the charts, like, all genre, because we had all this momentum. It was very exciting. But I'm sorry, we were number two. We never got number one because this annoying fucking true crime show called Felonious Florida was like hitting the charts. And when I tell you, like, a month after that, we never heard of the podcast ever again. I didn't see it on the charts until yesterday. Jackie and I was opening my phone for something and I was like, wait, I did a double take. I have seen Felonious Florida now for the first time in 5 years. I'm honestly happy for them. Oh, excuse me, 6 years.
It's back. Maybe it's their second season or something.
Yeah, maybe they took a 5-year break.
Yeah, so I'm just saying, like, there's a lot of Florida in the lore. And then the Mingos are here. They're giving Florida energy. Yes, I've decided to film remote episodes in front of the flamingos because they're just fun.
Like, it, you know what? I find, like, we are always explaining ourselves. And you know what? There will be no explanation. There will just be flamingos.
Flamingotation.
Like, I'm so sick of explaining myself. Like, so many people being like to me yesterday, what were they at? What were people asking me in my Q&A that I was like, I'm not answering this. I'm not explaining myself.
Oh, I wonder what it was.
It might have been about like Vanderpump Rules. And I was like, I actually did explain myself. People are like, why haven't you spoken about Vanderpump? Like, I did.
Because there's incredible beef. Yeah. That's why.
Oh, I also wanted to talk about something that we didn't talk about, but that like would be Fast Five worthy news. Like some exciting personal / professional news. Jackie and I, as you guys know, are co-founders in a fabulous brand of sparkling wine cocktails called Spritz Society. And this week we announced that we have a brand new investor / ambassador / model for the company. And it's Craig Conover, Southern Charm / Summer House star, Bravo Leb. Craig Conover, who has recently become really good friends with Ben. And of course, you know, if you're friends with Ben, you're going to end up working at Spritz in one way or the other. And Craig was like so down. Craig has this like kind of budding empire of businesses. He's a very successful podcast, a very successful linen company. And now he is a part of Spritz Society, which is so South Carolina. It's just like, it's meant to be there. We're going to be doing, you know, big launch in Charleston. We're going to be in a bunch of places there. So just very exciting personal news.
That is very exciting personal news.
And I'm just excited because that means, like, I think we'll be, you know, spending a lot of time with Craig and Paige in the near future, which excites me.
Yeah. Maybe some time in Charleston.
Perhaps.
Are you ready for the Fast Five stories that you need to know?
I am.
Without further ado, here are the Fast Five stories that you need to know.
And the Fast Five stories that you need to know are brought to you by the latest, not the latest, the new movie from MGM. It is Challengers, starring Zendaya. I feel like everybody's talking about this movie. We are so ready to see Zendaya in this movie. It's called Challengers. If you haven't seen the trailer, go watch it right now and you will see what we're talking about. The hotel scene at the beginning of the trailer, I feel like really pulls you in. And then the movie goes like to unexpected places, but I think we were all tuning in for that one scene. If you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, who's a tennis prodigy turned coach after suffering an injury. Tashi tries to help her husband, Art, played by Mike Faist, improve his playing by signing him up to a challenger event close to the lowest level of tournament on the pro tour. Then things really start to heat up when he has to play against her ex-boyfriend and his former best friend, Patrick, played by Josh O'Connor, the third person in that scene in the trailer. She is owning this role. She is such a force to be reckoned with in this movie. We cannot wait to see what happens next. The movie comes out Friday, April 26th, which, yeah, is today. So when I said I didn't have any weekend plans, I was lying. I'm going to see this movie. Going to the movies is so underrated. There's air conditioning. There's snacks. There's Zendaya. So many familiar faces in this film. This movie looks really good. Zendaya's just been killing it on the promo tour, like really wanting me to see this movie with her looks, with the tennis balls in her shoe. It is in theaters April 26th. That is today. So spend your weekend hitting up the theaters. You can see Challengers only in theaters this Friday, April 26th. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com. That's challengersmovie.com. Today's episode is brought to you by Saks.com as well. Jackie and I have decided that we are saying yes to the warm weather this year, and that means we are stepping up our wardrobes with the help of Saks.com. Everybody knows that Saks.com is the place to shop. They make it easy for us to jump into spring and summer fashion trends as we approach the warmer seasons. So whether you're looking for new boots for Stagecoach, beachwear for St. Bart's, new activewear for a 5K that you're training for that you're no longer allowed to talk about, they've got it all at Saks.com. I feel like the feeling of having all these things coming up this summer, personally, I have like a lot of weddings, I have a lot of work stuff, trips planned. I can't really get excited about it until I know what I'm wearing. Once I know what I'm wearing, I'm like super excited. But before that, it's just kind of the sense of existential dread. And that's why placing a big old order at Saks.com always makes me feel better. It's also just fun and easy to shop. And you're going to get access to brands that maybe you haven't heard of yet, but next year, like, everyone will be talking about, and you'll be like, oh yeah, Danielle Guizio. Yeah, I know her because I shopped at Saks.com. So with different curated shops like Spring Wedding Guest, It Girl Closet, Designer Shop, and Date Night, Saks.com makes it easy for you to find exactly what you're looking for. You can find anything from a cozy vibe to a more elevated look at Saks.com. Whether you have a podcast that you're really wanting to churn out looks for, or, you know, a wedding this summer that you need a sickening, but, you know, appropriate dress for, you can find anything and everything at Saks.com. And it's not going to take you a million years to sort through different pages because they have all these different shops that make it easy and humane to shop at. So discover new ways to shop for everything every day at Saks.com. That's S-A-K-S.com. They have everything you could possibly need for this upcoming warm season at Saks.com. Today's episode is also brought to you by Urban Stems, a nationwide floral delivery company. And they are asking you to leave moms alone this Mother's Day, because what moms really want is just some peace and quiet and some flowers. And I actually got a delivery from Urban Stems 2 days ago that were waiting for me when I got home yesterday, and they were absolutely gorgeous. Urban Stems Mother's Day collection is thoughtfully curated to give mom the cherished gift of alone time. Unlike many of their flower competitors, every bouquet is designed in-house and on trend at Urban Stems. Every package includes a personalized note to your recipient, thoughtfully designed packaging, and 100% happiness guarantee. Let today's ad read be a reminder that Mother's Day is coming up. Schedule that flower delivery. Take care of it. Be the number one daughter in this group. You can shop by color, by price range, or by flower type at urbanstems.com. And you can choose from a vast selection of bouquets, plants, and unique gifts. Urban Stems offers various floral subscriptions, which is perfect for ensuring fresh beauty year-round in your own home. This Mother's Day, let the flowers do the talking. Give mom her flowers, leave her alone, and let her enjoy a moment of uninterrupted tranquility. So reminder, Mother's Day is coming up. It's May 12th. Be the best daughter that you can be and send her Urban Stems. Also, the arrangements are just pretty. Like, I feel like that's, like, when it comes to flower delivery online, everything I see is just ugly. And it's giving funeral. Not Urban Stems. They're fresh. They're bright. They're delicious. They also have an arrangement in every price range because flowers can get really expensive. Mother's Day is coming up on Sunday, May 12th. You can visit urbanstems.com/toast to see some of our top picks. Just be sure to order in time by using code TOAST for 15% off your purchase. Again, that is code TOAST for 15% off your purchase. T-O-A-S-T at urbanstems.com/toast.
Thank you, Turtle.
Pleasure.
Our first story, some royal news. A very unwell King Charles's funeral plans are reportedly being updated amid his cancer battle. It is not good. So King Charles's health is worrying friends in the palace as he continues to battle an undisclosed type of cancer. Speaking to friends of the king in recent weeks about his health, the most common response is that it's not good. A friend of the monarch claimed that Charles is determined to beat it and they are throwing everything at it, adding everyone is staying optimistic, but he is really very unwell, more than they are letting on. Royal scribe also hinted at the monarch's health struggles, writing recently that Charles's cancer has put Prince William and Kate Middleton in a frightening proximity to ascending the throne, just when they had hoped for a span of years to parent their children out of the public eye. They also reported that the king's funeral plans, codenamed Operation Menai Bridge, are currently being reviewed. A separate document states that what went well at Queen Elizabeth's funeral and what could be done better the next time a monarch dies is also circulating.
Okay,
emphasize that funeral plans are constantly in review.
Right.
However, one former staffer in particular conceded that Charles's health woes have given his plans a different hue and urgency.
I'm not sure whether this rumor is true. I feel like if we're hearing about it, it's not true. But I'm sure that they are reviewing Charles's plans for his funeral. One, because he has cancer, so it's just like top of mind. Two, he's not like the youngest person. And three, they did just have a funeral where I'm sure they learned a lot logistically about what went well. So them, you know, I feel like William has his funeral plans. Like, I don't think that means that his cancer is really, really bad. I don't think that's like any sort of indicator, but I do think it's true. When it comes to his health, I don't know. I totally could see this being how Charles's story ends. It's almost like not comical, but, you know, someone who waited so long for the throne finally got it and ends up getting like a cancer that very quickly takes his life. I could see that being like a history people learn in 100 years. I feel like we learned about like crazy things that happened to the royals 200 years ago. And we're like, I can't believe that happened. I feel like we could be currently living through something like that will be in a textbook that like we would like find crazy.
Yeah, not even so crazy compared to things that have happened. And right. He is in his 70s. And I think that's the average age for people. They do have better health care than most. So they've been living longer, but anything could happen. I don't know how much credence there is to the fact that he's very unwell it could go either way, you know?
I know. I also, while I think for so long, so many people like wanted Elizabeth to like skip Charles and William is the people's king, William. I'm such a William stan, William and Kate. However, I feel like with her health journey, like now is not the time for her to be queen. Like, and I know they said like they wanted more years to parent their young children, for sure. But like she also is dealing with a cancer issue. She's going through chemo. Like, I feel like it's not the time for Charles.
Right, and William is like supporting her and helping with, it's really not the time for him to be king either.
Yeah, we need Charles to kind of keep it together.
Yeah.
In a health
sense. This is sad if true, and I just hope that it's not true and it's just a bit overblown and people are like, sure, they're updating funeral plans as they always do.
Right.
You know, maybe he heard a new song that he wanted to add to
the playlist.
The procession.
Yeah, I'm not convinced.
Yeah,
but I could see it being true.
And have we seen him publicly in a while?
That's the other thing. I'm feeling like I can't remember the last time I saw a picture of him.
Yeah, and it's hard to know what's recent and what's like
pre-recorded.
Just a picture they're using. No, not even pretending like it's recent, but like if I search picture of King Charles, like I'd see a bunch of pictures.
Right, was that yesterday or 3 months ago?
Yeah.
No, you're right. The Getty Image database is large.
Yeah. So I hope he's doing okay.
Regardless, sending well wishes.
Sending well wishes for sure.
But like if he did, you know, Chas v'Shalom, drop dead. Like how classic, like that would.
Yeah. Are you ready for our next story?
And isn't it ironic? It literally would be a lyric in Alanis Morissette's song, which tells the tale of a couple of situations that I don't really find to be ironic. I just find them to be unfortunate, you know? Like, is it ironic, a black fly in your Chardonnay?
I think there's something to me, like, that makes that ironic.
Okay, is it death row hard on 2 minutes too late? All right, that was actually kind of ironic.
Or no, like, rain on your wedding day.
Beyond
it's not
unfortunate.
Ironic. Not ironic.
A free ride when you've already paid? That sucks.
It's kind of ironic.
Good advice that you just didn't take? Not ironic, you're a moron.
Yeah, when there are spoons and all you need is a fork.
Mr. Play It Safe was afraid to fly, packed his suitcase and kissed his kids goodbye. He waited his whole damn life to take that flight, and as a plane crashed down, he thought, well, isn't this nice? That's also not ironic. Is it ironic?
It's a little ironic.
It's like poetic almost, but.
That's kind of literally King Charles. If you think that's ironic, he waited his whole life for this.
Yeah. It's more like,
I think ironic. I think irony is a kind of an umbrella term.
I also think irony is a term that's like just really difficult to understand and put into words what the definition means without even using the word.
I think that's ironic.
You just said a mouthful there, sister.
Are you ready for our next story?
I am.
Emma Stone would like to be called by her real name from now on. So Emma Stone did an interview with The Hollywood Reporter, and she revealed that she prefers her birth name over her stage name, her stage name being Emma Stone. But her birth name is Emily, and she said, I would like to be called Emily. She explained that she originally decided to go by Emma Stone because another actress from SAG-AFTRA had already taken the name Emily Stone. Mm-hmm. She said, then I freaked out a couple years ago. For some reason, I was like, I can't do it anymore. Just call me Emily. The actress claimed that people she knows and works with call her by her given name. Nathan calls me M, which is easier. However, if a fan were to approach her and call her Emma, she wouldn't correct them. Duh, we didn't know until today that your name was Emily and that you didn't like it.
I have a lot of thoughts. First of all, what is this giving? It's giving Kelly Brienne.
Yeah.
It's giving Kelly Brienne when Kelly Clarkson changed her name and we were like, to what? Like,
but it's also so weird that Kelly changed her name and her show is still called The Kelly Clarkson Show. It's like, what do you call it? The Kelly Brienne Show?
And the truckers for Kelly are here. And literally every time I listen to her album, you can take my name, I changed it anyway. You literally didn't. Like, to me, one of the great mysteries of my lifetime is what the hell Kelly Clarkson was talking about. And that's genuinely why we need Kelly on the toast. Like, we need her to clarify why the hell she changed her name.
Yeah.
And her name was never even her married name. She was always Kelly Clarkson. She was never Kelly Blackstone.
Yeah.
Okay,
we have to set that aside because we could literally wind up talking about Kelly Brienne for 1 hour and we need to stay on message.
I literally can't. I can't, like, I need to go down. Like, for me, once I've started the Kelly Brienne, like, I can't not go down.
You can't go down and you can't take me with you. It's something as a Kelly Clarkson stan that I've just, like, put in a box over there because, like, it doesn't add up with, like, the lore and this, you know.
Okay.
It just throws a wrench. Claudia, take your wrench and shove up your arse. Like, we're talking about Emily Stone now.
Okay, like, sure. I like how we're being blamed. Like, nobody calls me my real name. We didn't fucking know, first of all. Second of all, like, oh no, they call me by my stage name. Well, it's almost like you're on stage all the time. Like, you're right. Literally famous. Sorry we didn't know that. And honestly, no, I'm not going to call you by your real name because you made me call you Emma for the last literal 15 years. And now I have to change my ways because you've changed your mind. No.
Yeah. It's like, one, what's wrong with having a stage name and a private name that, like, you know that the people who really know you call you one thing and then out there in the world you're another? Also, like, Emily Stone from SAG-AFTRA, I don't know her.
She's a regular.
It's not like your name was Madonna and you had to change it because you couldn't compete.
No, Jackie, it's not a username. Like, you can't not have two of the same ones.
No, but it's not like she was, like, the biggest act. Like, there could be two Emily Stones in SAG-AFTRA and may the best Emily Stone win. I think it was just like a little extreme to like preemptively change your name because someone in SAG-AFTRA, like, as we know, it's a big organization. There's a lot of names.
She
floating.
Just wants to say SAG-AFTRA, you guys.
That's why I chose this story, you guys. I was bursting.
No, I saw it's this been, too.
It's been 3 weeks and 2 days since I got to say SAG-AFTRA.
Now, another thing that comes to mind is like, we've all been saying Rihanna's name wrong. It's actually Rihanna. And okay. She doesn't like bother us about it. You know, she let us know that that was her real name, but you know, nobody changed the way they pronounce it, and she just sort of moved on with her life, and like, that's respect. I think that's a good way to like go about it. Like, it is what it is sort of mentality.
Yeah. Also, Ariana Grande came out recently and said like, it's Grandy or whatever. Brandon Fraser, it's Frazier.
Like, right. No, it's not though. You know, like, you can lie like about your family history all you want, but we know it's Brendan Fraser, you know?
Yeah, I guess it's a little different because it's like pronunciation, which is like technically subjective. The person who created the name, like, are they here to speak for themselves? No.
Right.
That's like, not to make it about us, our last name.
Yeah, not to make like, it about us.
The way that we pronounce our last name is not correct. We say Oshray.
That's why a lot of people think it's O-S-H-R-A-Y.
But the real pronunciation, I believe, is Oshray. Right?
Like, yeah, except the way it's spelled in Hebrew, Olive Shid Reishush, Reishud, is pronounced Ashrei. Ashrei Yoshrei Veitecha, like the bracha.
No, but Claudia, the prayer is Ashrei Oshrei. So it's
no,
like.
No, Ashrei Yoshvei.
No, it's.
Look at the spelling. Ashrei Yoshvei Veitecha. Od Yalalu Chasela.
Ashrei prayer. Yeah, our name is a prayer.
A big one, too. Pray everybody on knows that. It.
So it's Ashrei, oh, Yoshvei. Oh, I've kind of been like telling people that my whole life. Oops, I feel like I'm a stone.
It's okay to be wrong. I feel like I'm a stone. So yeah, I'm
so
a stone.
It would be like if one day, so we always tell people our last name's Ashrei, like that's how we say it. And I feel like that's a little bit easier, whatever. And it'd be like one day if we woke up and we're like, you guys have been pronouncing our name wrong. It's Oshrei. And it's like, okay, well, you told us it was Ashrei. It's on you.
I know. And that's sister. Why, like, whenever, like, I'm doing, like, an interview or something, and they're about to, like, they're like, can you double check? It's, they're like, how's it pronounced? I hate, I'm
oh
like,
my God, it's a Megillah. Like, it's like, okay.
It up. I don't care.
Like, it's like, if we were in, you know, the Pale of Settlement, it's Oshrei. But, you know, right. We say Ashrei. Say whatever. Jackie, I'm just like, say whatever you want.
Are we on Long Island or are we in Anatevka? Because the pronunciation makes a difference. Are we, if we're on Long Island, it's Ashrei. If we're in Anatevka, it's Oshrei.
Oshrei. Yeah, it's so true. So that my response is like, say whatever you want. But you know that it's like a very offensive thing to mispronounce someone's name.
Yes.
Not to us. I'm saying like societally. So I think people get stuck.
Speaking of cultures, oh my God, I wanted to talk about this at the beginning of the show. I knew there was something. So I did this Q&A on my Instagram yesterday, and I learned something kind of major about us and our audience that I didn't really realize. We have a huge, huge audience of Latina toasters. And you know, I've always wanted to be Latina. And a lot of people think I'm Latina because my name is Claudia. And they're like, oh, Claudia. Everybody thinks that I'm just like, based on my name, you would think that I am Latin. So in a sense, I've always felt like the spirit of the Latina, you know, people with me. And knowing that we have so many Latina toasters and they were like making the funniest jokes in my DMs yesterday about La Tostada. Like, I feel as though.
La Tostada.
Yeah. I feel as though starting now, I am Richella Dolezal. Like, I want to be Latina and therefore I am.
So you're Claudia right now.
Yeah. Claudia.
Okay, you're gonna Rachel Dolezal it up.
I am. In here? I find Latin culture to be really beautiful. I love rice, and I feel like, yeah, I want to be Latina, so I am.
I love that for you.
And I don't know, I feel like the Latina people actually culturally have a lot of similarities to the Jewish people.
The Jewish people.
You know, family is really important. Faith is really important. Work ethic, education. Those are like big pillars in their community. Ours as well. I feel like it's really not that big of a hop from being, and there are Jewish Latinas too. Like,
and food.
Mexican Jews. Like you can be both. So I'm feeling like I'm a Latina Jew.
And food is a big pillar.
Oh, but of course. Yeah.
Okay.
Faith, family, food. Claudia.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yeah, so just please respect my culture.
Bye-bye as you enter into your new
Latina era.
And bye-bye as you get canceled for what you're doing.
No, and that's the other thing. Like the Latinas in my DMs, they were like cracking up at Claudia being like, they're so not like serious and annoying. Like I'm telling you, Latinas are my people. I got like such good vibes.
No, it wouldn't be them canceling you, which is always how it is, right?
So true.
So people have like nothing to do with it. Who are offended on behalf of everyone.
And also latterd. I've been Latina this whole time. Oh, look.
La turd. She's the feminine turd.
Correct. Oh, sorry. Si.
Are you ready for our next story?
I just want to send love to all my Latina sisters.
To La Tostadas?
To La Tostadas, yeah. I actually think there's a Facebook group. I should join it. Okay, no, I'm obviously being dead serious.
Yeah.
Yep.
Are you ready for our next story?
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. What number?
3.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Gisele Bündchen was caught on dash cam, police dash cam, crying to the police because of the paparazzi stalking her.
Literally me, like.
So Gisele cried to police after they pulled her over in Miami-Dade County because she claimed the paparazzi had been stalking her. Everything's coming up Florida. Mm. According to a video obtained by TMZ, after the officer told the supermodel that he would give her a courtesy pass, she explained that she was trying to stay away from that guy. He's like stalking me, she claimed before bursting into tears. She said, I'm tired. I have nowhere to go. I have these fucking guys after me. Nothing protects me. She added, I can't do nothing. I just want to live my life. The cop told her he couldn't do anything about the photographers because they were also doing their job. She was pulled over during a traffic stop on Wednesday while driving her Mercedes G-Wagon. It's unknown why she was stopped, but a public information officer told Page Six it was due to a traffic violation.
Yeah, she was probably like speeding or being nutty because she was trying to get away from this guy. Yeah. I just want to say like Gisele probably would have gotten out of a ticket regardless because, you know, like she's a model and she just flashed that $1 million smile at the cop, you know, in her sexy Brazilian accent. Like it was never going to be an issue. But literally the next time I get pulled over, I'm going to be like, I'm so sorry, sir. Like the paparazzi are insane. And then they're going to lock me up. Like,
yeah.
It's a good thing she's so recognizable because honestly, like I'm going
to
try
this. And she probably had to give her license. So they saw she's a big star. Mm-hmm. But this is sad.
You think?
Like,
you don't think it was like an act, like bursting into tears?
To get out of a ticket?
Yeah, like that's what people do.
No, because you guys know that I give people the benefit of the doubt. And like, unless someone's given me a reason not to trust them, like I believe what they're saying. So I think that would be really extreme to get out of like a, you know, a traffic ticket to start crying.
Okay.
And if there was someone actually behind her.
Right.
Like, and the guy could see him, the police could see him. She has nowhere to go.
I guess that would be the fatal flaw in my plan if I said, like, this paparazzi is following me. Imaginary
paparazzi.
And the guy, like, seriously, they would lock me up. They'd be like, this woman's schizophrenic. She sees people following her.
But, like, seriously, what do the paparazzi want from her? A picture of her in her car? Cool.
No, it's so true. Like, as a consumer, I can tell you there's really not demand for it. Like, we don't care.
No, like, there's these pictures of her in this article, like, walking her dog, whatever. Like, yeah, a snap of her. It's always nice to see a gorgeous lady, whatever. Like, but more than that, like, what do you, if you got your picture of her, like, what more do you want from her?
Right. No, I mean, I know what it's like. It's literally exhausting. These people don't leave you alone.
Yeah.
They say, Claudia, Claudia, foto, foto. And I'm like, please respect my privacy at this time.
Yeah. You know who you are.
Selena.
Hilaria.
Literally.
Maybe that's why you like clowned on her for so long, because it was like projection.
No, I can speak on behalf of my Latinas brothers and sisters. Like, we do not appreciate Hilaria. Like, our culture is not a costume. Like, for real, actually. That was really not cool of her.
That was really crazy.
By the way, low-key. Not that's even. You. Sorry. High-key. That was crazy.
Yeah.
No, because now I have announced that I'm transitioning
that you're
to
making
Latina.
The switch.
Like, not lying about my backstory being from Mallorca, okay?
Yeah.
How you say cucumber, okay? I'm not doing
you're
that.
Being transparent.
I mean transparent, yes.
Are you ready for our next story? It's number four.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You're saying get your ass to work.
I'm saying get ready if you're not already.
Well, I'm staying ready because today's episode is brought to you by Maybelline. For over a century, Maybelline has provided accessible makeup to give everyone the self-confidence to express themselves. As the number one makeup brand in the world, Maybelline has the platform and the power to make an impact from the inside out. And that's why they've created Brave Together, an initiative designed to help those facing anxiety and depression by funding free professional one-on-one support so that no one has to struggle alone. Mental health challenges like anxiety or depression can be super difficult to manage on your own. So if you've ever had like a friend struggling or if you've struggled yourself, you know that taking charge and finding the right care can actually be really difficult and just kind of overwhelming when you're already dealing with, you know, a lot. So Maybelline New York created the Brave Talk training to help people navigate mental health conversations with their friends. Five easy steps to having a Brave Talk, B-R-A-V-E. Be present, right setting, ask questions, validate feelings, and encourage action. It is brave to ask for help, so let's be brave together. Maybelline is committed to donating $10 million to NGO partners and providing free one-on-one professional support to 3 million people by 2025 so that no one has to struggle alone. If you or someone you know is experiencing anxiety or depression, Maybelline New York is funding a free confidential support. So text TOGETHER to 741-741 or visit maybelline.com/brave together to learn more. Again, that's text the word TOGETHER to 741-741 or visit maybelline.com/brave together for more information. Today's episode is also brought to you by Disintel. Sibling fights are unavoidable. But what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties. Wondery's podcast, Disintel, is hosted by comedian Cindy Battle and Matt Balasai, a former guest here at The Toast. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started. It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier? Follow Disintel on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. I love that concept for a podcast. Like, each episode is a different celebrity feud. Obviously, Prince William and Harry is an extremely... We could do a six-hour podcast on it. But somebody else is. So it's called Disintel. It's a Wondery podcast. You can find it on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, our next story, a little TTPD adjacent news, because Matt Healy's ex, Halsey, shows her boyfriend, Avan Jogia, which we just need a reminder that Halsey is dating Avan Jogia.
I don't need a reminder. I don't need a reminder. I think about it every day. I'm obsessed.
I need a reminder, and she showed him wearing TTPD sweats. So Halsey appears to have shown her support for Tailored after the release of Tortured Poets Department. The singer shared a photo of her boyfriend, Avan Jogia, from Victorious, wearing a pair of sweatpants released in conjunction with her the Swift's new emotional album, which features many songs about the demise of her relationship with Matt Healy, who Halsey famously dated in 2015.
Yeah, I don't think Halsey got the PR package because she dated Matt Healy. Why are you calling him Matt Healy? His name is Matty Healy. Sorry, like, it sounds so weird.
Yeah, it says Maddie. Yeah.
Cool.
Okay. I just don't know him like that. Like, that's so familiar. That's like me calling Emma Stone Emily.
Totally.
Like, I'm just a fan.
Well, nobody calls him Matt, honestly. Like, I literally didn't know who you were talking about.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. Also, for him, how old is he? In his 30s to be going by Maddie? Seriously, grow up.
I'm sorry. Like, you could never catch me not calling Maddie McKibben Maddie. Like, I know he was
16. Well, yeah, because he was in high school.
No, but like... like, I'm still going to be calling him that.
Matty McKibben.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he will, like, he's frozen in time as a high schooler, as a Matty.
He's actually not, because you know who he's dating?
Who?
Brooke Schofield.
Oh, my God, I did know that. No, obsessed. Because Matt, I'm just saying, the two are not the same.
No, I know what you mean. Okay, but by the way, we're also getting off track. Who the fuck cares? His name is Matty Healy.
Okay, grow up. Not you, him.
Oh, okay, I was like, okay, me grow up. You learn how to fucking read, bitch. Like,
no, like, I'm sorry. 35 years old going by Maddie? It's like a baby's name. Maddie.
Okay. Jackie. Your name's Jacqueline.
That's a name.
Your name's Jacqueline.
Claudia, Maddie is not a name.
Neither is Jackie.
Okay.
I got you. Say you've been caught. I got you.
Oh, no. That's not what that okay was.
I got you. Now back to the story. this list of people who got merch and vinyls, whatever, do I think, you know, she got on the list because she used to date Matty Healy? No. I think it's purely a coincidence. Her and Taylor are just also, like, good friends. They respect each other as songwriters, as women in the industry.
Okay, but she also, there is the other big thing.
Yeah, of course, obsessed. But I do think this is not, like, the first PR she's gotten. Like, I think if it was, it would be, like, kind of crazy. But I love that she put Avanjogia in those pants. And I love that we're here talking about Avanjogia, who I think is one of the hottest men alive.
Yeah. What does he do now?
He dates Halsey and wears sweatpants.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I'm sure he's in like artsy stuff. He seems incredibly artistic.
Yeah. He gives like Dylan Sprouse energy.
But more like he's who Dylan Sprouse like looks at pictures of every morning.
To motivate.
He's like, I'm an artist.
I also just wanted an excuse to talk about Dylan Sprouse. Like, I just love him. And
but
like,
no, but Dylan Sprouse is no, I feel like Cole Sprouse looks at pictures of Avanjogia.
Like, no.
Dylan is, like, happy. He has his beer company. Like, he's okay, not no, trying to be an
you're
artist.
Seeing, you're seeing it all wrong. Cole Sprouse, first of all, is such a sellout. Like, commercial, like, those movies he does and Riverdale, like, please. He gave up on being a true artist. Yeah, you can smoke how many cigarettes you want on Caller Daddy. You will never be an artist, okay? Second of all, no, if you really knew Dylan Sprouse the way that I know him and, like, you see his social media, he's really into photography. Like, he's
very artsy.
The way
that you know him from
being classmates
at NYU.
Yeah, we were classmates.
But Cole is into photography.
The thing is, like, it's with Cole, it's like a facade. Cole is the most, like, commercial sellout, like, person on the planet. Like, I'm sorry. You can't
right,
be,
which is,
Jackie, I'm sorry. You can't be in Riverdale and be an artist. I'm sorry. I don't make the rules.
Okay, but you can be in Victorious and be an artist.
Correct. I'm so glad we're understanding each other. Because, by the way, and if you understood his character in Victorious, like, he was very, very deep.
No, yeah,
profound.
He never strayed from art.
Exactly. Art was sort of his passion. That's why Avanjogia wasn't even acting in that show. He was just being himself.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking at his accolades. It's not like we've missed much, I don't think. I don't know. Anyways, cool pants, bro.
Cool pants, bro.
That's the moral of the story.
Agreed.
Are you ready for our fifth and final story, sports news?
Let me think. What's going on in sports?
The Turtle.
Knicks, the Knicks lost last night.
What's going on in sports, Turtle?
Wait, am I missing something? Caitlin Clark?
No.
What?
The NFL draft.
Oh my God. I'm also so glad you brought this up. I
was last night.
All morning watching videos of like people crying with their families. And also, more importantly, what I spent time looking at was like seeing if they hugged their girlfriend or their mom first.
Oh, true. At this age, they should be hugging their mother first.
Yes, unless they're engaged, which some of them okay. are. You know, like a lot of them come from like really religious, small southern towns. So some of them are engaged. But no, I completely agree.
And the mother of the new Jaguars draft pick, Brian Thomas Jr., is going viral.
Oh.
Because when she was asked, did you not send me this talk this morning? Someone sent it to me.
Oh, I did send you a talk. What did I say? Oh my God, I sent so many talks the second I wake up.
So the player's mother was asked how far her family had come to reach the draft in Detroit. And she gave a very literal answer. So they said, Sandra, how far has this family come? She said, we came from Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Lies detected? Zero.
It's giving what's your idea of the perfect date?
Or what's your favorite dish? A mug.
Mug.
Okay. Honestly, this woman was probably so overwhelmed. I can't fault her. It's the funniest, cutest, most sweet, like precious thing. This will go in the Hall of Fame. And then that sent me on a spiral of like famous moments from draft history. And I didn't know that Russell Wilson, he has one of like the most famous recordings, like, you know, when they're sitting in their living room and he gets a call and he was sitting next to his now ex-wife and she makes, she has the craziest face. Like literally she's, like literally it's one of like the most famous viral, I guess at the time, which before we were like really into football like we are now, at the time it had went super viral. And I was, all the people they were naming on this list are football players I had never heard of. And then there was Russell Wilson, Sierra's boyfriend.
Got it. Super cute.
I love draft day. I can't believe I missed it. I'm actually annoyed.
I love Draft Day, the movie. Then last night, Zach went to the Neighbors to watch the draft, so I wasn't...
I had first Mary Orton and now the Neighbors. Like, seriously, enough.
It wasn't in the background of my life last night.
No, I kind of missed it. I'm mad.
But it is, like, very glamorous, a very exciting evening.
Who was the number one pick and what
the
team?
Number one pick went to the... I saw him, and he walked the red carpet with his girlfriend, and they were a great-looking couple.
I need to stop.
He went to the Chicago Bears.
And what's his name?
And his name is Caleb Williams. And he played at USC as the quarterback.
Oh, USC. What was his name?
Caleb Williams.
And what team did he go to?
The Bears.
The Bears. I want to see what he looks like. Oh, he's cute.
But then, so I'm really, I like the draft. Like, obviously, what's not to like? Dreams are coming true. It's razzle dazzle.
It's razzle dazzle.
But then you have to think about the fact that Tom Brady was picked in the last round of the draft, and it all kind of just like goes out the window.
I mean, Johnny Manziel.
Right. He would have been, he wasn't an early draft pick because of his off field behavior, which is a major theme in draft day. You should watch it. But exactly. I feel like, you know, the number one pick of the draft rarely goes on to be like the number one NFL star. No offense, Caleb Williams. Like, I hope you crush it.
Yeah, but sometimes they do.
Do they? Like, seriously, how often? I feel like it's actually like a bad, like, I wouldn't want to be the first.
I just want to see like what people my team got. Hold on. I have two teams. So let's check the Jets and the 49ers. They're at the bottom of the
alphabet. Tom Brady was the 199th pick in the sixth round. Turtle.
And what do they call the guy who gets picked last? The big loser?
Oh, yeah, I think so. Big no, loser.
What do they call him?
Like weenie of the week.
Yeah, but you were the one who told me that they have a mean title for the person who's picked last.
Did I tell you that?
Yes.
I feel like someone told me that.
Mr. Irrelevant. Yeah, you told me that.
And who is Mr. Irrelevant? Brock Purdy?
Was he? Yes, that's why we were talking about it.
Oh, I hate that. He's been through so much, Brock Purdy. Okay. And look, like, all set to show, Brock Purdy was the last pick in the draft, and he went to the Super Bowl.
So speaking of the San Francisco 49ers, they got a WR. What's that?
Wide receiver.
Oh, good job. Number 31, Ricky Pearsall.
Ricky.
And then the Jets, Ricky. The Jets. Why isn't this alphabetical? Okay. They got the number 11 pick from Penn State in OT, offensive tackle. I know that.
Okay. Start from, who was number two?
My list is not going in order. It's going in by team.
I don't like that.
Yeah, let's like get a the Arizona list. Cardinals. Oh my God, I love football, like obsessed. I feel like between the season, like while they're in off season, there are a few like key moments that people keep up with to like prepare themselves for the next season. And we just missed a huge one. Why is there no commercials or like social media promotion for it? Maybe if they paid some influencers, I would have watched.
If they bought a podcast ad on the toes.
For sure.
Okay, so number two, Washington Commanders got Jaden Daniels. Obsessed. He's a quarterback.
Oh, that's huge.
Yeah, the first three picks were quarterbacks. Number three, New England Patriots got a quarterback, Drake May.
Amazing. Mazel tov to all the grads.
Congrats. Number four, the Cardinals got Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver.
Mazel tov. Behatzlacha.
Number five, the Lack got Joe Alt, offensive tackle.
Like, this is all meaningless to me because I didn't do my homework. I'm so upset at myself.
And you know, I was watching the stupid Knicks
lose last night, like big losers.
Number six, the Giants got Malik Nabers, a wide receiver.
It's amazing. So many dreams came true. Like, I'm obsessed with watching those videos, especially watching the mothers just like cry. You know, you can imagine how many sacrifices they made to send their sons to football camp. I'm overwhelmed with emotion, and I missed it. Like a big dope.
I'm surprised you didn't get more highlights on your TikTok.
Well, I saw as much as I could. I mean, it was last night and it's this morning.
I don't know. I just feel like usually it's TikTok that keeps you in the loop on those things.
I mean, I kept us in the loop on how far has your family come?
Yeah. Which, like, by the way, like, okay, yeah, we come far. Like, what kind of question is that?
I want to say,
it's giving what inspires you.
I don't 100% blame the mother. First of all, she was highly emotional. And second of all, what a dumb fucking question.
Yeah.
Could you have asked a less substantial question?
Yeah. That answer, like, at least, like, she made the question real.
Yeah, and now we're talking about the question where we wouldn't have prior. And you know what? I feel like that question is emblematic of the sad state of journalism we currently live in.
How far have you come? We've come far.
Right, all the way from Louisiana, some would say.
Yeah. Where was the draft?
I don't know. I missed it. And I'm kicking myself.
Is it always in the same place?
No. I feel like it's like a...
It's an honor.
In LA. I feel like it was in LA, if it is always in the same place.
You think? Where was? No, but LA's not a big town for football.
Detroit.
Oh, right. Detroit. I already said that. LA, like, football doesn't give a rip about LA, no matter how many teams they buy. They love, like, Canton, Ohio.
It's literally giving Faye Resnick. No matter how many Chanel bags you borrow, the football fans will never give a fuck about you, LA.
Like, the, and you will never be an important town in the NFL.
You have no history.
You have no scruples. All you have is lack and the lar.
And you do, you also have, by the way, our favorite team, the Niners, but that's like literally not California.
Not LA.
Yeah. Oh, right. We're talking about LA. Right. But they do have a Super Bowl ring, which not every, you know, team can say.
Cool. You bought it.
It's literally, it's giving college admission scandal.
Yeah. I guess like that's the point. Like you do buy salaries and it is business.
You buy rings.
Everyone technically is like spending their money to try and get a ring.
But it doesn't feel the same.
No, it doesn't. You can't, like, just LA has what it has. They have the 5K. They have Turdy hosting next week. They're not also going to have slaying the house down boots in the NFL. They're
no,
just
they
not.
Have the Lakers. Like, isn't that enough, Diana?
They have the Lakers. They have the LeBron. Dodgers.
Yeah, like, it's enough, which they stole from Brooklyn, but let's not get into it.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, it was the Brooklyn Dodgers forever.
Huh. The tea is hot.
Yeah, just something to think about. Okay. Show isn't over because it's Friday, which means we do our weekly segment, Weenie and Queenie of the Week, where Jackie and I bestow an honor to two people who acted in a weenie or a queenie-like manner this week. Now, I would like to start out with Queenie of the Week because I happen to have one, and there are words that I never thought would leave my lips. My Queenie of the Week is Alec Baldwin.
Mine as well.
Now, this will come as a shock to nobody because we predicted it earlier in the week and nobody did anything queenier than Alec Baldwin. I thought he acted extremely measured and tempered, which is two words I never thought I'd be describing Alec Baldwin, when faced with an annoying rat in his face at the coffee shop begging him to say Free Palestine. It was honestly an exercise in self-control and I was inspired.
Yeah, me as well. He's been written down as Queenie all week in my book and no one has dethroned him with more Queenie-like behavior.
Now, Weenie, which is always more fun. Who's your Weenie of the Week?
My Weenie of the Week could be a Weenie every week, but this week exemplified Weenie-like behavior more so and in a way that crossed my desk. Keith McNally.
We have the same Queenie and Weenie this week.
That's how you know it's like, it's written in stars. Stone. Like, it's, that's it.
Yep.
Wow. Like, and we both... And we didn't collaborate on our list at all.
No, we didn't share. To say something so nasty about like a woman who literally has done nothing to you. Like, I feel like I say stuff all the time that's like a little mean or whatever. But like what he said was like, I couldn't even think of something that mean. You know, it was really like inherent of his insides being pure evil. And then to sort of...
blame his rats on a big conspiracy. And it's just like kind of the undoing. And then going back to every time like he's been in the headlines, everything that he said, like... This man is a major weenie.
It's giving weenie.
Yeah.
And honestly, I feel like an honorable mention for Queenie this week kind of was James Corden.
Yeah, redemption story.
Correct. Hopefully, we'll see.
Hopefully. And I think that's, you know, something that maybe we could help with.
I agree. We have this amazing platform.
And I think it's time that we all let up on James Corden and go back to appreciate him for what he, because he, you know, it was the likability that then what goes up must come down. But don't forget how up he was and how much we did love him. Okay, so he put himself in every movie. Like,
you wouldn't would you?
Too. You would too.
Wouldn't you?
And
So before we wrap up today's episode, I just want to send even more love to my Latino Tostadas. I love you all so much. Thank you so much for your support. And thank you to the Toasters for an amazing week. Jax, love you. Miss you.
Love you, miss ya.
L-Y-M-A.
Just carry on.
Thank you so much for listening to the Toast and Monday Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe to this video. Thumbs up. Or also follow us on podcast. Our podcast, we found Spotify, YouTube, Roku, and every guest box office. We find us. We're listening to Wickedly Talented. We are.
Love ya. Bye.